Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen, listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 203, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are live and living, cooking and smoking like a monkey, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Jake Snake Roberts. I am your featured co-host. And I just want to say, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. The Pancakes and Power Slam Show, DDT's just about every... Well, you know what? Forget it. The Pancakes and Power Slam Show, DDT's every other podcaster in the whole nation, in the whole galaxy, because I'm Jake the Snake, and I said so. Isn't that right, Derek?
That is absolutely right. You know, we're here. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, we've had Jake the Snake Roberts on here. We've had the living legend Dusty Rhodes. He made a stop from heaven to come down and say hello, because this is what we do. This is where we are. This is how we're going to be. So you're either going to like it and love it, or not like it and still love it, because what else are you going to do? It's Tuesday night. It's 11 o'clock Eastern time. Wherever you are in this world, nothing else matters, because you're here right now listening live. What else you got for us, Jake?
You know what I was thinking?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I wanted to have, I've talked to DDP before, before outside of the show. I'm going to get Jake Roberts on the show. I'm going to get Jake Roberts on the show. And we're going to talk to each other like that.
Well, you know what, Chris? I appreciate it. I appreciate you putting me on, bringing me on the show, man. It's an honor to come on the show. You know what, Jake? I appreciate you being on the show, man. Because you know what? I'm going to DDT every question that's asked to me, because I'm Jake the Snake Roberts, and I make people sleep for a living.
Yeah, that's it's going to happen, man. Jake the Snake is going to be on the show. I'll tell you, mark my word. So, you know, we've had some big, big names on the show. Special shout out to Roderick Strong last week. Thank you, Roderick, for availing yourself, man. People know about the Pancakes and Power Slam show, and they tell wrestlers who tell wrestlers who tell wrestlers. And Roderick Strong, man, he availed himself on the same day. I contacted him, and we talked on the phone, and yeah,
He unveiled himself on the same day, and it was great, and it got a lot of pub, and it was just a great trip down memory lane about Daniel Bryan. So it was great. Kudos to Roderick Strong, and a major kudos to my boys, Matt Sydal and Ricochet, aka Prince Puma. And man, you know, it's so awesome to interview people who becomes, you know, who just recently won something, or won something really big. And they won the New Japan Junior Tag Team Championships last week, or a New Beginning, last Thursday. And it was so awesome to see them become the new Japan Junior Tag Team Champions. And it's amazing, because I remember during the interview that I had with Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal, he kept plugging the fact that, you know, they won the cup, they won the Junior Cup, and they are just vying to become the Junior Tag Team Champions. And lo and behold, there you go. They're, you know, great. Congratulations to Sydal and Ricochet. And it's great because both of them were on the Pancakes and Power Slam show. And now they're one of the best tag teams in Japan, and they have the junior tag team belts to prove it there. Isn't that awesome?
It's absolutely phenomenal. And it's like someone just said, everyone who is anyone in wrestling, they get their time on Pancakes and Power Slams. Gets to talk about, you know, whether they're the champions today, they're champions tomorrow, they were champions yesterday. It doesn't make a difference. I mean, again, one-stop wrestling show. You've got Pancakes and Power Slams. We've got so much more coming up. I mean, we haven't even broken the cusp of what Chris and I are going to do. And it's, you know, today it's Chris and I just talking, having a great time. Tomorrow, I mean, you're going to have King Kong Bundy, or I don't know why I said him, but, you know, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, anyone can be on this show. You don't know until you tune in that night, Tuesday night. We've got so much lined up. And so, again, anyone who is anybody is going to be on the Pancakes and Power Slams. Whether they get their start here, this is their swan song, they get to talk about what they're doing in retirement, we don't care. Be on the show, because we love you, and our fans, our listeners love you. That's pretty much all I've got to say right now.
Absolutely. And kudos to the Pancakes and Power Slams. We are wrestling live stream for posting a picture of another big moment. I know it was a big moment. I just had to give kudos to Sydal and Ricochet, because both of them have been guests on the Pancakes and Power Slam show, and maybe the person in that picture may be a guest soon, which is the cleaner, Kenny Omega, who's actually going to be on the ROH 14th anniversary show, and the other two people to the left and right of him, the Young Bucks, are going to compete at the 14th anniversary in Las Vegas for ROH. And then, of course, the fourth person in that picture is Cody Hall, the son of Scott Hall. The Bullet Club, or the Elites, is what they're calling themselves, kind of like I wouldn't say like an NWO red and whites, but it's kind of like a faction within the faction. They're calling themselves Elite now. So, but they're still Bullet Club for life, as Kenny Omega is making the symbol of the Bullet Club. So, yeah, kudos to Kenny Omega for winning the New Japan, the IWGP, Intercontinental Championship, and that's awesome. Yeah, I knew after he lost the Junior Heavyweight Championship to Kushida at Wrestle Kingdom, and then of course they turned on AJ Styles right afterwards, and Omega was kind of talking about Shinsuke Nakamura. He was saying, I'm going for you in the Intercontinental Championship. And, of course, Shinsuke Nakamura got stripped of it, and now he's got signed with WWE will be competing at TakeOver Dallas against who's he going against? He's going against Sami Zayn. That's what it is. Sami Zayn, which I don't like that match, and I think I've I wrote it somewhere. I think I might have tweeted or might have wrote an article. Don't like the match. I don't like the match because neither of them can afford a loss. And I think that Sami Zayn, he, you know, being in the Royal Rumble, coming back from injury, still one of the best baby faces in NXT, you know, he needs to get as much steam as he possibly can. And losing to, which he'll most likely lose, to Shinsuke Nakamura, I don't like it. I mean, it's a phenomenal match, but I'm not a fan of it from a debut perspective because I just don't want Sami Zayn to lose. I don't think he can afford to lose right now. But, you know, it'll be fun to see. And, of course, Shinsuke Nakamura is not going to keep his subconscious theme song, which was absolutely amazing. I'm going to see if I can find that subconscious theme song and play it on the radio, doing live on the show. That'd be great. So we'll look further into that. So before we get to Raw, something really ridiculous happened last week after the Daniel Bryan celebration. Jokingly, one of the most charitable people in all of the WWE, Father of the Year Award last year. I mean, this guy is the PR prince of the WWE. Somehow he grabbed Vince McMahon's arm jokingly, and there are reports saying that he did that jokingly to say ladies first. And there's other reports saying that Vince and Titus actually has a pretty good relationship, which makes perfect sense because Vince has to be behind kind of verifying or kind of allowing Titus O'Neil to be the face of the PR scene, which is huge. He's really the face of the company in that PR field, especially from a charity standpoint and from a parenting standpoint. So he's allowing Titus to have all these spots, giving him a decent, you know, babyface mid-card push, and a simple grabbing of the arm, jokingly, during a network event, you know, behind all of the people celebrating for Daniel Bryan, behind all of that, in spite of all of that, he gets a initial 90-day suspension reduced to a 60-day suspension, which is going to cause him to miss WrestleMania. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand any logical point. Now, if they're doing this to Titus O'Neil to make a statement, this is the worst way possible to do this to Titus O'Neil, because here's the thing. Now you made it something. The only thing that you had to do, if it was such a big deal, was to reprimand Titus O'Neil backstage, say something to him, give him a few weeks off. You know, if Titus O'Neil was not on TV for a few weeks, I guarantee you that no one would notice. No one would notice. There's not like a, I would really venture to say, I would strongly venture to say that there is no one that comes to Raw or SmackDown specifically for Titus O'Neil. I like the guy. I respect Titus. But I would venture to say that there is no one in the entire WWE universe that comes specifically for Titus O'Neil. However, 60 days from now, people are going to come specifically to see Titus O'Neil. And you know that when he comes back, he's going to be a even bigger babyface than he ever was, because people like me, and I'm sure like so many other people, are going to find this whole thing ridiculous. and they're going to cheer Titus O'Neil for the sake of it being ridiculous. So in hindsight, overall, objectively, it hurt the WWE much more than it hurt Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil's gone for 60 days, yes. WrestleMania payoff, yes, that's going to be very hurtful, especially since pay-per-view rates and pay-per-view period isn't a big deal, and that's what pay-per-view buys and things like that was really big for wrestlers making money. Now, because of the network, you get a bunch of cuts specifically in that field. So, yes, from a financial standpoint, Titus will be affected by that for sure. However, you get people that I think it's going to get to the point where Titus is going to be the recipient of a hijacking ovation wherever he is and whatever he does. And that does nothing but hurt the WWE because of this. Overall, it's ridiculous. Like I said, if he was gone for a few weeks, no one would have ever noticed. Now he's gone for 2 months. Everybody notices. It's a big deal. And it backfired for WWE because it was so stupid.
It was absolutely horrible. It makes no sense. Who does Vince think he is? Roger Goodell of the NFL? I mean, it's not like Titus beat up his fiance in an elevator, or he's out partying wearing a fake beard and wig and drinking beer when he's supposed to be in rehab. It was absolutely this making no sense. Why would you do that to Titus O'Neil? Why would you make a mockery and make it public? I mean, yeah, like you just said, go backstage, say, yeah, what are you doing? Grab my arm like that. And if I was Titus, I'd be like, what's your problem? So what? I grabbed your arm. Who cares? Go have a beer. You don't dig in. This is blowing everything up out of proportion. It's making Titus look like $1 million because everybody knows Titus, knows his PR, knows that there's no reason that he didn't do anything wrong. And that's it. He might have gone wrong. Vince McMahon might have, just been in a bad mood or something. Who knows? I mean, it was a celebration. Daniel Bryan's last night. But anyway, Vince wants to be a party pooper and be a jerk about it. And so, okay, so be it. Titus is going to miss WrestleMania. Well, Titus is going to come back so much more stronger because everybody reads the internet. Everybody knows what happened, what the consequences were, and what is your issue, Vince McMahon, period.
Yeah, great comment here. The fact that you can get over by being suspended tells us the age we are in, though. Absolutely. I mean, that makes perfect sense. And it's a social media. This is a social media world. So the fact that the fact that it became something is why Titus is over. Now, if it was a unpopular, very secretive thing, no one would ever care. And I keep stressing this. If he would have been gone for 3 weeks, nobody would have noticed. Nobody would have noticed that he was gone. 3 week suspension, there you go. That's it. Even if he missed Fastlane, there's nothing that Titus O'Neil, if you think about it, Titus O'Neil is involved in absolutely no angle, zero angle right now. There's nothing that is causing us to want to see Titus O'Neil on a weekly basis. Even at WrestleMania, tops, he would have got a spot at the Andre the Giant Battle Royal on the pre-show. Tops. I very, very much doubt that he would have had any spots on the main show, on the main stage of WrestleMania. Pre-show, Andre the Giant, tops. And, of course, he would have got eliminated. He wouldn't have won anything. And so it just doesn't make sense at all to something that could be so discreet. Tops, Andre the Giant Battle Royal entrant, not win. Tops being unnoticed, for 3 weeks on end. Tops, being just someone who, again, people just sees come just willy-nilly on a Monday or Thursday night. That's all. But now he's more over than he ever was because of a really ridiculous decision that trickled down, you know, to making it. I mean, like, a, you know, it's a social media society. And when stuff gets publicized, it gets blown up. That's the reason why journalists are making so much money now, because of capitalizing on the social media society. You have journalists like myself who capitalizes on a thing, reports it, talks about it, commentates on it. And it's beneficial for us because we understand the importance of social media and the popularity of social media. And things get blown up, things get reported, and that's what happened. There wouldn't even be a story if Titus O'Neil was gone from the WWE for 3 weeks. It would have been hearsay. People would have been like, oh, maybe it was reported by such and such. And then there would have been some comments and people would have forgot about it. But the fact that it was 2 months, initially 3 months, come on now. I mean, you know, that's a substance abuse policy, violation. Not a grabbing. So basically Vince McMahon is saying that grabbing his arm is akin to having a second substance abuse violation. Basically grabbing Vince McMahon's arm is the same thing as getting caught for smoking weed or having possession of weed twice or any type of, you know, PED or whatever, any type of drug or enhancement chemical. Having it twice is the same thing as grabbing Vince McMahon's arm. And that alone is ridiculous, especially, come on now, we have to be honest, especially if that was someone like John Cena, if that was someone like Randy Orton, I would even venture to say if it was someone like Sheamus. If those three people would have done that, Triple H, of course, and if those four people would have done that, there wouldn't have been any suspension. So, you know, as an African-American, I would encourage everyone to ditch the race card. This isn't a racial discussion at all. And for those who even bring that up, it's ridiculous to even think about it. It's a very bad, awful, desperate form of trolling. And just ditch that. Ditch the race card. However, I would say it is more of a rank card than a race card. I don't think it's a race card at all. I would say it's a rank card, though, because I don't think that other people higher on the tier, higher on the echelon, would get that same type of treatment for what Titus did.
I absolutely agree. I mean, we're just beating a dead horse. So why did this happen? Why would that happen? And if you're right, if it was anybody else, if it was, you know, Triple H, if it was, you know, Hunter, anybody, wouldn't have. Let's go have fun. This is for Titus O'Neil. And again, he's not anybody that they're having a problem with. Titus O'Neil is the PR face of WWE since John Cena's, you know, gone AWOL or whatever. And what if it was Cena? What if Cena would have grabbed Vince? If Vince would have punched him in the arm, they would have had a great time.
Yep.
And so it's just, you know, I mean, if that was Big E, if that was Kofi Kingston, would they have the same repercussion? Would you break up the New Day because they grabbed your arm for whatever reason? No, you would not have done that. So why Titus O'Neil? Yeah. I'm absolutely on Titus's side. I think everybody else is. So there's really no reason to discuss this any further. We've given our opinions about it. Pancakes and Power Slams chat room has, so everyone thinks it's absolutely ridiculous. So,
yeah, good comment here. Let's not forget that the report broke out when Triple H and Joey Mercury had a talk fence out of firing Titus. I mean,
fire Titus, whatever. Get over it, Vince.
To me, that just sounds like an entitled, spoiled, rich billionaire who's 70 years old and senile. I mean, that's, if I can be perfectly honest, that's what that sounds like. You know, hey, you're not going to mess with me. I'm Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I have, you know, I'm the genetic juggernaut. You're not going to grab my arm. I'm Vince McMahon. How dare you grab my arm, Titus? You know, that's,
Let Trump be the boisterous one. Vince, go about your business. Do wrestling.
Exactly. Absolutely. Trivia question. What year did Daniel Bryan join ROH? Hashtag Team Titus, absolutely. What year did Daniel Bryan join ROH? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into Raw.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, hosted by Chris Featherstone and Derek of Crave Wrestling. This is the new Tuesday Night Titans.
What do you mean the new Tuesday Night Titans? I've been mad. I gave up with that.
There's your Vince McMahon for tonight. Let's get into Raw. 2002 is the correct answer. Great job there. And the next question, another Daniel Bryan question. When did he win his first Ring of Honor world title, and who did he defeat? When did he win his first Ring of Honor world heavyweight championship, and who did he defeat? All right, so let's get to Raw. Dean Ambrose promo calls out Brock Lesnar, interrupted by Stephanie McMahon, and books Fatal Five-Way for the Intercontinental Championship. And to be honest with you, as soon as I heard this match, I said, see ya, Dean. He's going to lose the title. And what made it even worse to me, this was rough. This Intercontinental title match was rough. Not the match. The match wasn't bad. But the participants, oh, my goodness. I mean, this really shows you the state of the Intercontinental Championship division. Absolutely awful. You have Tyler Breeze, who hasn't been relevant since he's got there. Didn't he lose like his debut match? I think it was his debut match that he lost, or maybe like a match close to his debut. Or if I'm not mistaken, it was his debut match. I could be mistaken, but close to or his debut match. So he hasn't been relevant since he got caught up. See, I loved Breaking Ground. That was my favorite. Original WWE show. The podcast was good, and we'll talk a little bit, if time permitting, we'll talk about it. We might be getting into Big Show right quick, the podcast. But Breaking Ground was my favorite. And they portrayed Tyler Breeze to be this star, this veteran in NXT who teaches people listen to him. He's the man in NXT. He's well respected. The last show of Breaking Ground is when they're in the auditorium, and let me come on up here, Tyler. You know, and it's so you have this big old elaborate, setup basically to make Tyler Breeze his big star. So you have him come in. And then you have Summer Rae be with him, which didn't make any sense. Of course, feuding with Dolph Ziggler, of course, that was going to happen. And so Summer Rae and Tyler Breeze has this amicable breakup for no booking reason whatsoever. And so Tyler Breeze takes a step down because he doesn't have someone like Summer Rae who draws heat, doesn't have someone like her drawing heat for him. So he's just in limbo. So he's winning matches, losing two, winning one, losing three, winning one, losing two, winning one, losing four. And just one of the most poorly booked mid-carders in WWE currently. Somehow he's a contender for the Intercontinental Championship. And then you have Stardust. A smack in the face to Titus O'Neil because Titus O'Neil defeated Stardust week after week after week after week after Raw after SmackDown, and somehow Stardust is worthy of becoming the Intercontinental Champion. And of course you have Kevin Owens, which makes sense, and you know, Dolph Ziggler is always involved in the Intercontinental Championship. And it made sense because, you know, Ziggler's getting some steam. He beat Owens a couple times. And to be honest with you, Kevin Owens has been losing. So how did he become a contender for the Intercontinental title? These five contenders, was at least two of them were the worst options that the WWE could have made. I would have certainly put Rusev in there, or you know, someone to that nature. But oh man, Tyler Breeze, this is your mid card WWE. This basically shows you how awful and weak the mid card is when you're having people like Tyler Breeze and Stardust being in the Intercontinental title match. Oh man, it was so awful to watch. It was really sad to watch. And Kevin Owens winning, you know, it was cool. You know, having the belt off of Ambrose before Fastlane and WrestleMania, it opens up a little bit more options. And I wrote an article on WrestleZone about that today. But, you know, and we'll talk about that potentially later. But, you know, it opens up a lot of options for, you know, Ambrose, which is okay. Owens and Ziggler, again, you're going to have another match with them, just this time for the Intercontinental Championship. Now, you're throwing a belt in there. Just because you throw a belt on a match that we've seen a half a dozen times in the past few weeks, just because you're throwing a belt in the mix, is that going to cause us to be more intrigued for Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens match? They've already totally outdone this match. And I'm not very intrigued to see the match again just because Kevin Owens has the championship. And the championship that Kevin Owens has now is a lot weaker than the championship that he won when he first got it. When Ryback had it and he beat Ryback, even with Ryback's reign, it was a lot stronger as a championship. He had a lot more momentum than he does now. Kevin Owens is a weekly booked mid-carder who happens to have the Intercontinental Championship, unfortunately.
Well, the thing about it is Tyler Breeze, he's not mid-card. He doesn't even deserve to be on Monday Night Raw. And he's a Stardust. He's mid-card, but he's not IC material. You couldn't have Neville on there because they already had him going against, you know, League of Nations later on in the night. Why couldn't you have AJ or The Miz in there? Because they already had spots on that night in Raw. And who put all this together? The same dude that sidelined Titus O'Neil for the next couple months.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's okay, Owens wins. That's great. He's a good potential IC champion. Of course, you want to throw Ziggler in there. That's great. I love Ziggler. The match was good, like you said. The participants absolutely sucked. And the match, just there's so much more potential that they could have put in that match, but they had them booked in other matches on Monday Night Raw. That would have made more sense if they were in the Fatal 5-Way. Didn't happen. What we got was the cluster we got last night, the puke fest, that just Owens wins the IC title. He should not be happy about winning that title that way at that night. I mean, Dean Ambrose, you couldn't have him have the IC title going into Fastlane. I understand that. But there was just so many more people that could have been on there other than Tyler Breeze. Are you kidding me? Tyler Breeze can't even lace up Ambrose boots or even Owens or Stardust boots to even there's no, he was just an absolute mismatch. And it's disgusting. That was the second match. That was the first match on Raw, second segment of Raw. And after that, I knew this Raw was just going to be total garbage. And, of course, you know, you've got Neville and all those people coming out later. And the whole time, if I was Neville, why wasn't I not in that match? Why wasn't Miz in that match? Why wasn't AJ Styles in that match? AJ Styles, showcase this guy. Make him somebody that people want to watch Monday Night Raw for. I do. But we get him in these matches that, you know, I've gone on. It's absolute garbage, and I can't say that enough times. So good for you, Kevin Owens. We'll see what you do with the Intercontinental Championship. You deserve it. You are an Intercontinental Champion. But the way you won it last night, it just kind of throws a question mark over everything you're going to do here in the few coming months. And who puts this crap together? Who's writing for the WWE?
Yeah, I mean, in addition to that, you know, Owens winning is not a bad idea at all, but the way that Owens has been booked, again, I've written this so many times. In 2005, James Gibson is the correct answer. Great job. Next trivia question, what year did the Dudleys win their first ECW Tag Team Championship? What year did the Dudley Boys win their first ECW Tag Team Championship? Like I said, Kevin Owens, it's not a choice to become Intercontinental Champion. It's not a bad idea at all. However, the way that he's being booked, like I said, I've said this many times, I've written this many times, countless amount of times, people make titles. Titles do not make people. A title holder, this is what a title holder should look like. This person is so over with the crowd that it makes the most sense for this person to have a championship because he is a championship quality character. You cannot put a title on someone and expect them to be a star. That's horrible booking, and it's never worked. Look at Seth Rollins last year. He had the title for 7 months, and he wasn't a bigger star 7 months afterwards than he was day one. And I would even argue to say that he was maybe even a bigger star when he first won it at WrestleMania. You just can't put titles on people and expect it to work, especially if they're just kind of like run-of-the-mill, no steam builded, very mediocre, you know, booked mid-card people or upper mid-card people or even main event, quote-unquote, people. You can't just put a title on them. When the Ultimate Warrior won the Intercontinental Championship from the Honky Tonk Man, this guy was so over. He was so over in 88 that the WWE had no choice but to make him a champion because he was so over. Same with Goldberg. 97, 98, the guy was so over with the streak, they had no choice but to make him champion. And he made the championship. He made it exciting. He made people want to watch television, want to watch Nitro. You can't just put a belt on someone and say, you know what, this person is going to put more butts in seats by having a championship. He's going to, if he's a heel champion, he's going to be the perfect person to draw enough heat to build that baby face. If he's a baby face champion, he's going to get enough ovations and enough excitement to draw the fans to want to watch it the next week. Those are the two things, face and heel, one apiece specifically, that should come with winning a championship or should, you know, follow winning a championship or even, I would say, be a prelude to winning the championship. If you don't have those qualities, you just don't. When Hulk Hogan won it, you know, in the early 80s, you can't. I mean, he beat the Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik was a heel magnet. You know, he would get Iran number one, Russia number one, USA ha blah. And this guy would get so much heat just saying that. And because he was heat magnet, you have the real American come in. If you come stretching down and hurts inside, I'm a real American, fight for the rights of every man. You come in and you beat the Russian antagonist. You beat the Iran antagonist. That's who you beat. And you don't have that anymore, unfortunately. With Kevin Owens, we don't see it because he's poorly booked. He's a great heel. He's a great heel. I mean, I followed Owens for years when he was a part of Scum and ROH, even before then when he turned on Generico, when he was teaming with Generico and turned on him. Awesome, awesome heel. Especially, I would say, when he was Scum. Scum was an amazing heel faction, and Owens and the Owens and Carino alliance was absolutely evil and menacing, and they were fantastic heels. And nowadays, Kevin Owens is just, I mean, he's just really yesterday's discussion that's rehashed today reluctantly. That's basically what Kevin Owens is. Next, you have New Day in-ring promo. For some reason, they're not going to defend the tag team titles at Fastlane, unless I'm missing updates. May, I'm not quite sure. But I know that they're going to be in the cutting edge segment with Edge and Christian, which is interesting. I know it's a plug for Edge and Christian to book their, you know, their Edge and Christian totally reeks of awesomeness thing. But, you know, I'm okay with this segment. I just don't quite understand why the New Day is just involved in this as a part of Fastlane, you know, for the sake of Edge and Christian getting a plug for their show. I'm sure their show is going to be fantastic and fun and just hilarious. But, you know, what does this do for the New Day? How does this push the New Day? Because at the end of the segment, most likely they'll look like idiots. So it really won't help them as heels. And then at the end, and then you have, you know, who are you going to factor in with, you know, setting them up for the tag team title? You know, it might be a TLC match between the Dudleys, the Usos, and the New Day, which is going to be really fun to watch. You know, I think those three teams would make a fantastic TLC match, similar to the Lucha Dragons with New Day and Usos. But, you know, just doing all this for the Dudley boys to turn heel, which them turning heel, what really did that mean? That, you know, and they come out on SmackDown and, you know, say no to the tables. They abolish the tables and then reiterated on Monday, assuming that people don't watch SmackDown, which they're pretty accurate. I watch it because I do the show. I don't ever watch SmackDown live because my interest in SmackDown is incredibly low. But I watch it because I write about wrestling. And any other person most likely won't watch SmackDown live or at all. But, you know, that's why they had to reiterate it. But, I mean, the interest in the Dudley boys, they've already smashed. The booking's already smashed their name. Making a, you know, what's the point of making a heel turn if you weren't a strong babyface? I mean, that's basically saying someone, you know, like, just, I mean, if you just throw someone like Sin Cara making a heel turn. What really is that going to matter? If you're not a strong babyface, your heel turn is not going to mean anything. And so that's how the Dudleys were. Their heel turn didn't mean anything. They're trying to make it something by their promos, but still isn't working. And so it kind of creates a bit of confusion going into the title scene because the New Day are much stronger heels than the Dudleys. So it's actually going to backfire against them if they feud against the New Day. So it's just a cluster mess. It just doesn't make much sense going into the, you know, building the tag team scene up going into WrestleMania. And the whole segment with Edge and Christian kind of throws it off even more as far as what they're going to do with the New Day going into WrestleMania.
Well, the New Day have the titles right now. And they're going to have the titles for a long time. You've got the Dudleys, so they don't want to have anything to do with tables anymore. So naturally, you'd put the Dudleys in a TLC match. What are they going to do? They could possibly win that match without using tables and win. But what's that going to do for them? It's not going to do anything. It's going to be absolute garbage. The Dudleys have passed their prime. I mean, not really past their prime, but as far as booking goes, I mean, the WWE's buried them, which is a shame. With the New Day, they've really got no one else to go up against. You got the Usos, still boring tribal dance crap. So it's, like you said, it's just a cluster of nothing that can really happen. I mean, the New Day is the tag team division, period. They've got nobody else. There's nobody to equal them as far as when it comes to bringing the crowd to their feet, when it comes to making people excited that the belts are on them. Because that's where the belts belong. They're not going to go anywhere from the New Day because there's no one else quite deserving of it, honestly. And with the Dudleys, even when they had the tables, they were just as boring as they were when they denounced the table. So I don't really see anything coming of this. It's kind of a stupid thing to throw up in the air. It's almost like a Divas division. So New Day, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing fine. And then, you know, the match last night, Big E against Mark Henry. Evidently, Mark Henry, God bless him, he hurt himself. I thought it was kind of a weird end to the match last night, but then we realized, okay, he's injured. So whatever. But the New Day, they have no equals right now. They are the tag team division. They're champions. No one can take that from them without it making any sense. So I just say have the New Day train keep going. Maybe they'll find someone, have the Social Outcast or somebody come in. Take that.
No.
That would be a huge surprise.
No, come on, Chris. That would be great. I can't.
The Social Outcasts are the future of the tag team division.
Oh.
Like it or not, 3-on-3, come on. Think about it.
If the Social Outcasts is the future of the WWE tag team division, we have officially reached an all-time low in WWE programming.
Blah. You love Adam Rose. That's your boy.
I do. I do. I'm an Adam Rose guy. He, see, they, thee. I'm an Adam Rose. I like Axel,
and
too.
I think he's ridiculous.
I like Adam Rose, man. He's I'm an Adam Rose guy. But I tell you
Who else is there?
The Bo Dallas, you know, he can. I don't like Bo Dallas. He, I'm not too.
Nope.
Slater.
Nobody likes Bo Dallas.
Slater's passable to me as well. I like Axel and I like Rose. I like Axel Rose. But the Social Outcast to me is a complete sideshow. They remind me of like the Oddities back in the day.
They have personality.
The Oddities had personality. They came out with
no,
ICP.
They had nobody.
You had Goga.
Nobody liked ICP. Forget them. No one likes Goga.
You had
Luna
Vachon. Giant Silva. That was a complete waste. Yeah, the Oddities were horrible. But they remind me of a sideshow. I mean, the Social Outcasts remind me of the Oddities. They just do. They're just a sideshow that comes out. They need some type of band to come out and do their entrance for them. They need some type of Luna Vachon like, you know, diva out there. I know there's someone in NXT that can have that type of look to her. Who's that girl? I know that the listeners in the chat room or Twitter can say something about this. Who's that? He says, quote here, Social Outcasts are fantastic. They're over-ish, which I respectfully don't agree with. Chris, you're like me then, an Adam Rose fan, Outcast of the future. I'm an Adam Rose guy, man. I do like him. I think that there's potential. I think there's untapped potential in Adam Rose. I really like the Adam Rose party. What is the Rosebuds gimmick? The music was cool. Welcome to the revolution. I liked it. It was cool. So, what music am I supposed to be playing? By the way, I'm supposed to be playing some type of music. I'm supposed to be finding some type of music. Where did I say?
Yeah,
do you remember what I said there?
ICP, Oddities, whatever.
No. I wasn't supposed to be. I'm supposed to be looking for some type of music. I said earlier in the show, I'm supposed to be finding some type of music and playing it. I don't remember what it was, but hopefully people who remember the show, who remember, would tell me. I need help with trying to figure out what music I'm supposed to be finding and playing during the show that I said earlier. So if you remember that, let me know. Next we have 1997 is the correct answer of the Dudley's Great Job. And then the next question is, what was Kalisto's name in AAA? What was Kalisto's name in AAA? And then we get the, like we said, Big E and Mark Henry. I mean, just sadly, where Mark Henry's gone, it's just incredibly sad. He was in the Black History Month promo, you know, a couple weeks ago. Now they're turning around and saying, you know, just having Samurai Dozo is the correct answer. Great job. So they're having Mark Henry just be such a non-factor, and the WWE is absolutely ridiculous. And this guy, I mean, I wrote an article. This guy needs to retire. He needs to. So speaking of retire, I think that's a good segue to go into the podcast right quick. For those who watched the podcast, you know, I'm sure that you enjoyed it. It was a great podcast. You know, I don't know how PG all the expletives were and the towel covering up the you know, the liquid consumption. But yeah, other than that, man, it was great. It was a really fun, exciting. And I knew that, I mean, you know, I love, and it's like with the interviews that I have, I love hearing road stories. I absolutely, like, I'm a kid at a candy store when I hear road stories. That's the reason why one of my favorite interviews of all time here were the Greg Gagne interviews. Because this guy, you know, he had 30 years of road stories to just tell us, just without hardly taking a breath, just story after story after story after story. And it just really entails, and it really narrates just the process and the highs and lows, the ebbs and flows, who trained who, I didn't know that. Just so many things that we can find out from road stories that are so captivating and so fascinating. And I had no idea that Triple H, you know, trained the Big Show. And so, you know, stuff like that is really captivating. And I knew when Austin was going to interview Big Show, because they have, you know, they have a history together as well. You know, of course, Big Show debuted, you know, taking Austin out. But it was a great podcast, man. They were just laughing and joking. And it was, you know, it was real. It was genuine. And the stories that Big Show, you know, talked about was good. He put Hogan over like crazy. And they even showed, you know, a picture of Hogan. So they're going to creep or seep, you know, Hogan back in. But, you know, rightfully so. I mean, I have my opinions on Hulk Hogan, but he was such an amazing contribution to wrestling. If it wasn't for Hogan, wrestling wouldn't be at the level and the status that it is now. And I can understand why people like Big Show would put Hogan over so much, because like you said on the podcast, you know, 20 years ago, there weren't like schools that say, you know, just come in and we'll train you. And people were going to, you know, representatives are going to be going to different schools and different independent shows to, you know, grab a few talents here like they do now. You know, the guy from, the guy from India, on Breaking Ground, he was doing some type of fight in India, I believe, and he got recruited and trained for the national appeal. So, you know, 20 years ago, that wasn't even thought of. And like Big Show said, you know, knowing someone who knows someone who can mention your name and then possibly give you a chance. That's really what it boiled down to. And he put Hogan over, rightfully so, because of that, you know, because he gave him that chance, because of the whole Danny Bonaduce show that he was talking about. So it was a really good podcast. I would encourage, you know, everyone to watch it. And I'm sure that you'll be, you know, you'll enjoy it.
That was a great podcast. I just watched it tonight, actually. And always brings a tear to your eye when he talks about his father and things like that.
Yeah.
One thing that really stuck out is, I mean, this Big Show has so much respect for everyone that came before him and people that were helping him.
Yep.
Even Big Show, he always grew up as a fan, he said, but it was just the fact that he's got this unique talent, just his build, just the way he was made. I mean, he suffered from a tumor, but this tumor ended up being his paycheck. So,
yep.
I mean, exactly. But he's so gracious and grateful for everyone that's ever had anything to do with him, building his career. And he's like, I'm doing it for the people nowadays. The reason I lose and this and that and the other thing is because I'm making people. I'm helping people. They have nobody to be a baby face, so I'll be a baby face this week. Next week, I'll be a heel. We complain about it all the time on Pancakes and Power Slams about the Big Show. He's this, that, and the other thing. He flip-flops every week. He's something different. Who cares? He just needs to retire. Well, you know, talking about it's easy, but to be him in his shoes, he does what he does, and he continues to do it, and he's great at it. So keep doing what you're doing, Big Show. I think he said he's got like 2 more years or whatever before he thinks about retiring. As much as I hate to see the Big Show be placed or booked the way he is, I do love to see the guy. And it's another thing. I love to see the towel over the beard when he takes his wig. So, I mean, it was great. It was kind of a refresher. It was great. I needed to see that to put my faith back in the Big Show.
Yeah.
That this guy belongs where he is, and he's going to go down in history, not as one of the best wrestlers, not as the greatest of all time or whatever, but, I mean, I know who the Big Show is. You know who the Big Show is. Everyone on Pancakes and Power Slam does, so be it. The Big Show is who he is. If you have a problem with that, take it up with him, and he'll put you in your place.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. The only thing is that I kind of look at it from a different way because of the whole flip-flops. The whole flip-flops, he put it in perspective, and it makes perfect sense. But to me, the whole flip-flops makes it even worse to me because, you know, it makes the Big Show look like an idiot. I mean, yeah, he puts people over. He can put people over. But, I've said this before, you don't put people over unless you're a strong character yourself. And there's been so many times where he's just switching and flipping and switching and flipping that he doesn't have a stability to him to make him a strong enough character. Now, he is an anomaly. I will say that. He's an anomaly. He's a 7-foot giant who, you know, if anybody beats him, makes sense. So he does have that advantage. I will certainly say that. But if they're booking him weak, you know, we kind of even throw the giant factor away in the sense of if they just keep booking him so weakly. And, you know, I think the whole flip-flopping thing just – and he said in the very beginning, he said that he missed the traditional old school, you know, form of wrestling you had. And I totally, totally agree with that. You have the baby faces, you have the heels, draw enough heat to work a baby face. The baby face gets the pin, the crowd erupts. That is the tried and true method of professional wrestling. That's the reason why people got so much behind characters rather than wrestling. And I've said this, and I'll say this to the day I die. Characters are more important than wrestling, period. I mean, because you have people in the 80s, they didn't care about Kerry Von Erich doing a collar and elbow tie-up. They didn't care. They didn't care about Nikita Koloff doing some type of, you know, a belly-to-back suplex. Nikita Koloff was an amazing heel because he pretend I was speaking Russian. I am Nikita Koloff, and I have my uncle Atlanta here. You're the zero general. You know, and it's like this guy was so immense in his character that he actually started training himself to speak like a Russian man. This guy was born, you know, in the backyards of Minnesota, and he watching that 30 years ago, you would have never thought that the guy was, you know, a Minnesota guy. I mean, you would never thought. You know, people call him Nikita Koloff now. You're just so, and that's, you know, a lot of people say, a lot of people might say that's a little bit too much changing your name, which, you know, I think that's a reasonable argument. But, you know, he's a Minnesota guy that, you know, just decided to say, you know what, if I'm going to wrestle, I'm going to immerse myself in this thing. I'm not getting out of it. That's who I am. I'm Nikita Koloff. And nowadays, you don't have someone immersing themselves so much in a character because people care so much about wrestling. You lost, you know, 10 million viewers from, you know, the Attitude Era, over 10 million viewers. You lost that because people were so immense in characters and storylines and angles. Austin versus McMahon is what captivated people in watching wrestling. Vince McMahon barely knew how to wrestle. He took bumps like crazy. That's what he did. He was a heel. So he just elicited all the heat and got all the hatred from the fans and was a bumping fest for Austin. And that's why people liked wrestling. That's what people were drawn to. They didn't care about the wrestling match. They care about the bad guy losing. And that's the reason why the ratings were up through the roof, because people cared about the bad guy losing. That's what it was all about. Nowadays, you have, oh, man, you know what? I'm expecting a stellar match. If these two people aren't wrestling the best that they can, I'm gonna go straight to a computer. And I'm going to just type away, and I can't believe that, and I hate it. I'm going to cancel my subscription and all that. Come on now. I mean, you know, that's not the tried and true method of watching the traditional way and the effective way from a traditional standpoint. And that's why I respect people like the Big Show, you know, because of his age and because of his tenure. You know, people like him, you know, being, you know, 40, almost 45 years old, people like him I can respect more because they understand the traditional method of pro wrestling.
In this respect, the traditional pro wrestling obviously has my vote. And I understand, like I said, it was kind of a refresher to see the Big Show just talk the way he did. And anyone who hasn't seen the interview needs to see this interview. This was probably one of the better Stone Cold Steve Austins before Vince McMahon told him to be more PG and not be so thrilling and whatever. I mean, the Big Show, bottom line, to make a believable character, you have to really express yourself. You can't be booked in a way like the Big Show has. The Big Show can talk it because, I mean, he's true to himself. But still, at the end of the day, he gets a paycheck to do what he wants, what they tell him to do. Big Show, hats off to you. One of the best podcasts. I wouldn't even call it a podcast. It was on the WWE Network. It was an interview. So yeah. I get it. I mean, characters build what you get into. The storyline makes everything. And you haven't seen an in-depth storyline almost since the Attitude Era. And that was just because it was push comes to shove. It was us against WCW. But you don't have that now. The TNA is a non-factor. So, you know.
You have Matt Hardy's world, you know.
Matt Hardy is a pudgy, disgusting, no one cares anymore.
But
we're done with it.
But hey, you know, Matt has Rebby, so.
Yeah.
It was like a dozen years, at least a dozen years older, younger than he is. I mean, hey, there you go, man. You know, it's good to marry young, because when you get old, they'll still be young. You know, just don't go overboard. There's a good comment here that Bray Wyatt is so into his character. I'll agree with that. But here's the thing. Bray Wyatt's an exception to the trend. He's an exception to it. And the thing is, Bray Wyatt is so into his character, and it's showing that the WWE has unsuccessfully pushed Bray Wyatt for the past 2.5 years. The dude debuted 2.5 years ago for the WWE. And in that 2.5 years, he's not won one single championship. He's had three good WrestleMania. Well, he's had two good WrestleMania matches with Cena and Taker. He's had those good spots, but objectively, if you look at Bray Wyatt's career, you're not saying that, man, these 2.5 years have been fantastic for Bray Wyatt. No, you haven't said that because he's been, again, WWE booking. He's had some high points, some low points. They're not building steam and taking time into making him one of the best heels of all of wrestling for a consistent amount of time. Now the Wyatt family are, you know, causing some steam, wrecking some havoc. They've got a 6-man match, you know, coming up on Fastlane. But, you know, you're showing clips from like 2 weeks ago of why we should care about this 6-man match. It just doesn't make sense. And then if you're going to build a match between Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar, you're kind of making us forget about it in a sense, which to me, again, Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar, just I'm not intrigued in that match at all because most of all, Brock Lesnar will win. So that would make Bray Wyatt lose 3 straight WrestleManias. If Bray Wyatt beats Brock Lesnar, it's still one of those things that he's not a strong enough heel character to make me interested if he wins a match. You got to build this guy. You got to get some steam behind him, and you haven't. I mean, as soon as they pull the plug on Bray Wyatt for some odd reason, as soon as he gets a decent amount of steam, they just blow it out, just like Owens. I mean, it's just. You just don't know how to book heels anymore. That's absolutely ridiculous. Next trivia question. What pay-per-view did the Big Show debut on WCW? Excuse me. What pay-per-view did the Big Show debut in WCW? Now, we even say this. Two-part question. What pay-per-view did he debut in WCW? What pay-per-view did he debut in the WWE? Then we get to Brie Bella entering the interview, interrupted by Charlotte. This was just a desperate attempt for us to care about inserting. You know, Brie Bella is getting the sympathy pop now because of Daniel Bryan. She was a heel just a few weeks ago, and now they just, you know. You can't get me interested in this stuff. You just can't. You're building a character so poorly. And you're expecting the viewer to get in. I am a hardcore pro wrestling fan. Everybody knows that. We've had 203 straight weeks of this amazing podcast that I think so much listening. And when you have four figures of weekly listeners, we're doing something right. Fortunately, we're doing something right. But here's the problem. Here's the issue. When you have people like diehard fans like myself and Derek, when we try to be objective, we try to just, you know, look at things from an objective lens. But when you present stuff to us, diehard fans and like other fans, like, you know, the amazing listeners from We Are Wrestling, WAWNation.com, and through Twitter and through our Facebook page, Crave Wrestling. When you have those people who are listening, and those people are diehard, most of the people are diehard fans as well. When they are crapping on the product, why am I supposed to believe that someone who's a casual fan is supposed to be intrigued enough? That's like me making this cake, this cake that I'm just like, you know what? It's called Chris's Cake. It's got such and such and such in it. To me, it is the best thing that someone could eat after coming from work, long day at work, it's been hectic, I've had a lot to do, I want to eat Chris's cake. And so people are saying, I don't like Chris's cake. It's not very good. It's, you know, there's some parts of it that's okay, but overall it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And I wouldn't do it. So a casual fan's like that. Basically, you have a diehard fan saying, I wouldn't, the WWE is not very good. I watch it because I love wrestling. I'm a wrestling lifer. I'm watching it, but you're not going to miss much by not watching it. That is so the opposite route of what WWE should do right now. They should encourage. they should have a product that's so strong that people are saying, you have to watch Raw. You have to watch SmackDown. You have to watch this pay-per-view because you got this versus this and this person doing this and you have this person turn on the wall. I can't believe it. You got to watch it next week. That's the reason why people started watching. That's the reason why the eras of the 80s and 90s were so amazing, because people were telling people about it and those people were telling other people. Now it's the reverse. People are stop watching it because they're so disengaged. And one of the reasons is because you have people who aren't booked as consistent baby faces and heels. Who cares about Brie Bella outside of Daniel Bryan? I mean, she's getting the sympathy pop from Daniel Bryan, and we know that there's reports that she, maybe even retiring soon. And she was just a heel a few weeks ago. Who cares? Who cares about Brie Bella being in the title match? She's not going to win the title. I mean, there's my bold prediction that we'll get to here in a minute for Fastlane. Brie Bella's not going to win the title. So you're just throwing matches for us to care about as if we're some type of sheep that's supposed to say, and yes, man. It's just horrible. This Divas stuff is absolutely horrible. The Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks versus Team Bad, there's a bit of interest towards that just because Sasha's kind of a baby face now. But the whole title scene, oh, man, you can keep it.
Title scene. I mean, Brie comes out and she wants to talk and all Daniel Bryan this and that. Charlotte comes out. Charlotte, it seems so forced to be a heel. Like she's trying to make this conversion. I mean, it doesn't help that Ric Flair's there. I wish Ric Flair would just – I love Ric Flair. I mean, top three wrestlers of all time. He doesn't need this. He could do so much better. And for Brie to come out and start her crying and sobbing, I'm done with it. Okay, retire. Quit. If you want to have kids, you can't wrestle and be pregnant. I mean, you just can't. So I'd rather you have kids that are healthy and happy than to wrestle. I mean, it's common sense. And for Charlotte, you're getting on my nerves. You're driving me nuts. You're trying too hard to be a heel. Make it natural. Don't force it. But you're forcing it, and you're making me hate the Divas division more than I ever have. And I never did like the Divas division to begin with, so... Stop, Brie Bella, retire, have your swan song, have your final match at WrestleMania, whatever, that's fine. Goodbye. Charlotte, you've got a lot more to come, but again, you're just forcing it. It sounds stupid. You sound like an idiot. Stop. I mean, the whole time, it's kind of started when they did the whole Ric Flair thing. It's not.
Yeah.
You're done. After that, I kind of wrote you off because you're not believable. You're just out there. Give me a script and let me see what I can do with it. You can't do anything with it, Charlotte. You're done.
No.
And so forget about it.
A pretty good heel in NXT. I mean, she was a pretty good heel in NXT. But, I mean, it just seems too forced. And just, like you said, it just seems way too forced. You know, people have too much sympathy for Flair because of his age and because of his, legacy.
He's Ric Flair.
Yeah, I mean, and people have respect for Ric Flair just because. He can say woo one time and the whole crowd saying woo. So he doesn't have that type of heel heat as much as he does his typical, shut up fat boy, pointing to the front of the crowd, shut up, fat boy. Come on, Rick. No, man. You're giving me the same spiel. You're telling the fat guy to shut up, in the front row. We've seen that too many times. We're not buying it. It's kind of like he's gotten to the point where we're like, Rick, no, it's okay. You know what, Rick, for you, You know, it's like the fat boy in the crowd. He's like, you know what, for you, Rick, I will shut up. You are absolutely correct. I mean, that's basically what Ric Flair is getting now. And so, you know, he didn't draw any heat for Alicia. He didn't draw any heat for Charlotte. He just doesn't. If it was a babyface type thing, they'd be getting the woos and, you know, it'll work. But as a heel, yeah. I mean, Charlotte is just, she's indifferent to me. I liked her in NXT. I liked the fact she was caught up, but, you know, Charlotte's really indifferent to me. Halloween Havoc 95, St. Valentine's Day Massacre. How about that? I dig it. Who was the final ECW World Heavyweight Champion? Who was the final ECW World Heavyweight Champion? Or the ECW Champion, rather. There you go. The final ECW Champion. All right, so we have AJ Styles and Miz. They don't want no. This. I've actually hashtagged that in one word. And so, you know, for those who are following me in Crave Wrestling, you know, feel free to go back and look at my hashtag, they don't want no. So, and it's so funny because I was like, man, what is this? This is crap. And the theme music is growing on me a little bit, I would say. Ezekiel Jackson is the correct answer. Great job. I would say the theme music is growing on me a little bit. I will say that. I'm getting more excited about his entrance. Just his booking is just boring, man. They're not, you know, they're and I wrote an article about this as far as Jericho, and I titled it Jericho is not the, I'm paraphrasing it, I just wrote it like a week or two ago. Jericho is not the guy for AJ Styles. He's just not. And I mean, I liked their match on SmackDown. It was good for Jericho to get a win. This series is fun to watch, but for the sake of putting AJ over, I'm not buying it because Jericho puts everybody over. So how is this going to change anything about AJ Styles? Like I said, I mean, him feuding with The Miz and having a match on Fastlane would be better than Jericho, because The Miz, he gets heat. He elicits heat. He's a very strong mid-card guy. He's a heat magnet. And that's how you build AJ, by having him defeat a strong heel. And The Miz would be that guy. The Miz is perfect for that opportunity. But again, AJ Styles beats The Miz again, just like he beat him on SmackDown last week, you know, or two weeks ago. You know, AJ Styles heading into WrestleMania is not very interesting, to be honest with you. Sadly, I like AJ. I really do like AJ. But just, you know, I loved him. I wasn't necessarily a big fan of him. I respected the heck, still do respect the heck out of his work. I wasn't necessarily an AJ Styles fan, so to speak. The best AJ Styles character for me was the whole No One thing. The music was cool, and when he had the hoodie, kind of that's when he really started doing the hoodie thing. In TNA, when he left and kind of came as a kind of a loner type thing. That was my favorite AJ Styles character in TNA. And he kind of transitioned that a little bit into the Bullet Club, which he was phenomenal there too. But, you know, it's really hard for me to be excited about AJ Styles with how they're booking him now. Like I said, the matches with Jericho are good. They're good matches, but this feud isn't really, the payoff of this feud isn't going to increase the interest in AJ Styles, unfortunately.
It's not going to increase anything for AJ Styles, and unfortunately, that's too bad, because you got Y2J against AJ Styles. On paper, that looks phenomenal, but then you throw The Miz in there. The Miz, The Miz just doesn't do anything for anybody, unfortunately. But we'll see. I mean, Y2J, I mean, they put on a great match. They really do. I'm more intrigued in it now than I was, you know, a couple weeks ago whenever they first matched up together. Then, Y2J beats him on SmackDown. Then, you know, I'll think about wrestling and Fastlane. Obviously, it's going to happen. It's going to be a match. Exactly. Okay, that's great. AJ, going into WrestleMania, what are you going to do? You need to make WrestleMania your show. And it doesn't really appear that it's going to happen that way. I mean, yeah. Prove me wrong, AJ. Prove me wrong. I say that every week. Prove me wrong, whoever we're talking about. So, AJ Styles, I mean, you've got the talent. You know what you're doing. WWE, book him, book him, book him to make him one of the best things that's happened in the past couple years.
Yeah. Next trivia question. What year did Shane Douglas throw the NWA World Championship in the trash? Uh-oh, dun-dun-dun. What year did Shane Douglas throw the NWA Championship in the trash? And I haven't been giving these out. I haven't been giving those out, so I'll give a few of those out for the right that guesses throughout tonight. I see 1993 and I see 1994. There's one of them. One of them is right, actually.
Go ahead and give it to me.
93 and 94. You haven't said anything yet. I haven't even asked you. So.
No, 93.
93 is your answer. And then I see one on the chat line of 93 and one on the chat line of 94. So let's do this. You say 93. So if I give you, I'm either going to give you a correct answer or an incorrect answer. And that's going to be based on the other answer being right or wrong. Here we go. So you say 1993. Here's your result.
I like that result, whatever it was. So great.
Yeah. It was the wrong answer. There we go.
Maybe 95. I don't know. It was Shane Douglas. I know he was upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. 1993 is not the correct answer. It is 1994. Good job.
It should have been 93. So.
93, I think he was still doing some NWA stuff. It should have been, but it wasn't. It wasn't booked
until
1994.
Well, that's not my problem. So
he threw the belt in the trash can in 1994. It should have, could have, would have, but it wasn't. So you got a wrong answer, buzzer.
That's not my problem. That's not my fault.
Person, and the other person in the chat room was at 93.
Paul Heyman, that's his problem.
Well, actually, Todd Gordon was the man in 93, so.
Well, you know.
You're getting all types of wrong buzzers now. All right, so listen.
Nobody's
so
perfect.
We have the Heath Slater versus Heathy Baby versus Zack Ryder. They win, so they're trying to build some steam with them. As Summer Rampage, that was absolutely ridiculous. The Dudley's promo was too. Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns was cool. It was interesting, but the Dudley boys, you know, that just was desperate, and of course that led to a SmackDown match, which, you know, him and Ambrose against the Dudleys. Okay, interesting, I suppose. League of Nations defeating Lucha Dragons and Neville. Del Rio's been beating, you know, anything regarding Kalisto for a while now, so we'll get to the predictions in a minute. Becky Lynch and Naomi, I'm a Becky Lynch person. I'm a Becky Lynch guy for sure. She's my favorite, other than Bayley. Then, of course, the attacks and everything and the saves to lead up to their tag team match. And then Big Show defeating Braun Strowman by DQ to lead up to Ryback and Kane coming. Kane comes from the ashes of from underneath the ring. Man, it's so sad to look at Kane these days. You got half of it. You got his hair piece. You know, he does the whole, you know, throw his head back to do the pyro, and a lot of times his hair is showing in the back, his short actual haircut, and it's just, he's starting to look like an idiot, and it's so sad that he's been in the business for almost, you know, he's been in WWE for approaching 19 years now, and how they've treated him and Mark Henry, who's been in the business, who's been in WWE for 20 years, how they've treated him is just, them is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and we've seen people come through the ranks so many times now. It's just, it's almost old. Yeah, if I was there live, it'd be great and fun, but I'd still be scratching my head after a while. And so you got Kane coming out, big deal. And Becky Lynch, I agree. I mean, as far as the Divas division goes, she's one of the best things going. Wyatt's coming out, talk some trash. Strowman, a big show. At the end of the day, Raw wasn't that great of a lead-up to Fastlane. So I know we've got predictions coming up for Fastlane, so we should probably get onto that and see where we're going with that.
We should, real quick, who do you have The Undertaker going against at WrestleMania? That is our Flavor of the Week,
yeah.
Carmel. That is our Flavor of the Week.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
Who do you have going against at WrestleMania?
Undertaker going against WrestleMania. I mean, you didn't. I want to say, I think John Cena may come back, and Undertaker and John Cena. I mean, I don't know who else right now presently could go against him without interfering a bunch of things. Triple H would be great, but I don't see that happening with Roman Reigns. So I want to say John Cena.
I agree. Well, I wrote the article. I wrote the article that I wrote today, excuse me, on WrestleZone because that was based on, you know, John Cena leaving, so or not being there. But yeah, if John Cena was there, Taker Cena would make perfect sense. But Cena not being there, I think that would be the perfect way to give Taker his one song. Yeah, he hasn't had the World Heavyweight Championship in 7 years. Hasn't had the WWE Championship in 14 years. Hasn't won a championship, a world championship, and at WrestleMania since 2008. So, I mean, it's been a while since, I mean, I know he only peaks here and there, but it's been a while. So, you know, that, check that out on WrestleZone.com, the editorial that I had as far as the best way to use The Undertaker at WrestleMania. All right, let's get to predictions real quick. It's been a fantastic show, so thank you all for the amazingness in the chat room. And on Twitter, and just, I mean, just an amazing show and lots of interaction and fun. Let's get to the predictions and, of course, voice them out on social media at Crave Wrestling if you're listening live, and, of course, WWE Nation chat room if you're listening live. Go to the chat room and let us know. All right, so here we go. We have Kalisto against Alberto Del Rio. Somehow this is for the 2 out of 3 falls. Somehow this got plugged on a pre-show. I don't understand.
Alberto Del Rio, I believe, is going to come through.
I think Kalisto, not really big on him of being champ, but Kalisto. We have the 6-man match, Wyatt Family versus Ryback, Big Show, and Kane.
Oh, Wyatt Family, obviously.
Yeah, I agree with that. Styles and Jericho.
Oh, Styles is going to win.
I agree because they don't want none. They don't want none.
They don't want none. None there.
Kevin Owens and Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship. Who you got?
Kevin Owens is going to reign supreme.
I agree. I think Ziggler Owens. I think we might see this at WrestleMania too. Lynch and Banks against Naomi and Tamina. Who you got?
I got Lynch winning.
Lynch and Banks, the team of Lynch and Banks?
No, yeah, of course, yeah. Lynch and Banks.
Charlotte against Brie for the Divas Championship.
Charlotte's going to win.
I agree. Who wins the Triple Threat?
Oh, Triple Threat. Who are the contestants?
For the World Heavyweight Championship, who are they?
Oh, crap. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, obviously, Roman Reigns is going to win. I'm off in line. Yeah, Roman Reigns is going to win.
I have my bold prediction of Brock Lesnar winning and setting up Ambrose versus Reigns, but I agree. Reigns wins. Have a fun time watching Fastlane. Until then, God bless you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.